that we can begin. I'm going to call this meeting to order and ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ammons. Anderson.
Here.
Beckett.
Here.
Spenzel.
Here.
Beck.
Here.
Carter. Coert. Dennis.
Here.
Gladney.
Present.
James.
Here.
Jay. Jones.
Here.
Knott.
Here.
Kurtz. Langenheim. McGinty. Michaels.
Here.
Mosher.
Here.
Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Rosales.
Here.
Sapp.
Here.
Schrader. Schmucker.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Wysocki.
Here.
And I want to note for the record that Ammons, Langenheim, Schrader, Jay, and McGinty all called in either with illness or to let us know in advance that they were not going to be here so that their absences will be excused. I would entertain a motion to approve the County Board resolution to meet as a committee of the whole.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Rosales. Who is the second? James?
Me.
Mr. James. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the public hearing of April 13th, 2010.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Beckett. Seconded by Ms. Wysocki. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. I would entertain a motion to approve the committee of the whole minutes of May 11th, 2010. Moved by Mr. Rosales.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. James. Discussion, additions, corrections. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda and the any addendum. Moved by Nudo. Is that a motion?
Yes.
Seconded by Schmucker. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to remove under D1 from consideration. I've decided to withdraw that.
D1.
Which number are we out?
D1 on
other business.
Under other business, yes, page 65 to 68.
D1, you want to remove?
Yes, please.
Okay. Anyone else have any additions, corrections, or removals? That being said, all those in favor of the approval of the agenda and the addendum signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Public participation. Jerry Watson.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Watson. I'm speaking here tonight as president of the Farm Bureau. And tonight, each of you are going to have the unique opportunity to discuss the future of how the government body will be structured. And like you, Farm Bureau has been studying this issue for several months. We have looked at virtually all aspects of the mapping process and the factors that are outlined in the Redistricting Commission resolution that will shape the final map. As an organization, we believe the best option for the size and structure of the county board is 9 districts with 3 representatives per district, a total board size of 27. We believe the current structure should be maintained. And why? First of all, we believe the current structure offers the greatest representation. Champaign is a very diverse county, and the more county board members we have, the better the opportunity to adequately represent a broader cross-section of our population. Second, 27 opportunities for individuals to serve on the county board allows for minority groups, including agriculture, to have a voice during discussion of important issues. In addition, maintaining the current board structure more evenly spreads the potential power and influence of the county board. There's no better example of how a smaller group of people serving in leadership positions can lead to disaster than at our own state house. Historically, the state of Illinois had 3 representatives per senator. We're all painfully aware of how shifting two representatives has concentrated the power in Springfield with negative results. The comment has been made that moving to a smaller board will create efficiency and eliminate dead weight. The fact is, the only way for this to happen is to surface good, solid candidates to run for office from both sides of the aisle and help them get elected. This issue runs much deeper than the size of the county board. We feel that representation, not efficiency, should be the board's goal. Farm Bureau believes that a 27-member board best serves the people of the county by forcing board members to work together as they address the issues that impact our residents. We believe that the county board members working together to pass an ordinance or a resolution is the best possible government that our county could have. I hope that as you discuss the issue this evening, you'll consider these points. And please take a moment and ask yourself, is a 27 board member the best interest for all? Farm Bureau believes that answer will be yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Henley Ehrenberg.
Hi, thanks for allowing me to speak tonight. I'm Hannah Ehrenberg, and I serve as the Vice President of the Student Senate at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The President wanted to come to speak about this issue, but he had a prior engagement. But I wanted to discuss a ban on video gambling. I passed out a copy of the resolution that the Student Senate passed on this issue. We spent months debating it, and it's been a hot topic amongst the student body, but we came to an overwhelming agreement that it would negatively impact the Champaign community, the campus, and the citizens and students. Some of the facts that I'd like to point out are that over 42 counties and municipalities have already enacted bans, DuPage County and Cook County. There are studies proving that student populations are particularly susceptible to addiction and problem gambling and are showing double the gambling addiction rate of the older adult population. Illinois college communities like Carbondale have banned or are preparing to ban video gambling machines. And we think that it's important for students and for the community to unite on this issue because it'll negatively impact all of us. So with that, I'd like to ask any of you here today who agree with the students and the faculty who have voted to ban gambling to please rise.
We can't do that under our rules.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. John Kent.
Sorry, I'm getting hard of hearing in my older age. Honorable Chair, honorable members of the County Board, colleagues from the University, Mr. Betts and Mr. Beckett, I'm John Kent. I am at the University, but I'm not representing the University. In your passed out to you, you would have a copy of the Faculty Senate resolution, which virtually passed unanimously, also endorsing, actually it passed before the Student Senate resolution passed, and it's in this little packet, if I may hold it up, which is yesterday's Chicago Tribune editorial against video gambling on the top of it. If you flip to the second page, you'll see a copy of the Student Senate resolution. If you flip to the third page, you'll see an editorial by the Chicago Tribune against the video gambling and calling for its repeal. And if you flip to the fourth page, you will find the faculty resolution, which I'll just cover very briefly. The faculty discussed this. As I said, it passed virtually unanimously. There were only a couple of students who spoke against it. The faculty were virtually unanimous. And they indicated here, and they cited in the first paragraph, to the Paul Simon Federal Commission, Senator Simon's Federal Commission, supported bipartisan, passed virtually by unanimous consent through Congress, only over the objections of the Nevada and New Jersey delegations for obvious reasons, was supported by Henry Hyde, Republican from our state, there was bipartisan support for this, and this called these video gambling machines the crack cocaine of creating new addicted gamblers. And as Ms. Ehrenberg indicated, students are showing double the gambling addiction rate. So this is really a prime area for these machines to be located if you are in favor of the video gambling, because this is a prime cream market. But it's a very vulnerable market. I would point out also that the Chicago Trib, the Chicago Sun-Times, and other news media have editorialized against these video gambling machines. The Trib, as I mentioned, on 9/11/09 called for the repeal of the video gambling machines. Cook County, by a 10-4 vote, voted not to have the machines. When Cook County is setting the high ethical standard for the state of Illinois, you know that this legislation doesn't pass the smell test. Illinois college communities such as Carbondale are poised or have already banned these machines. And if bans are not initiated quickly, the video gambling machines will bring the problems of gambling to our locale. I'd finish by simply saying that according to the National Gambling Impact Study Commission report, you can only ban these worst forms of gambling. You can't regulate them. You can't compromise with them. This is also supported by our 2008 and 2009 United States International Gambling Report, produced in large part by my colleagues at the University of Illinois. And it reinforces the Paul Simon, Henry Hyde National Gambling Impact Study Commission. The final point I would make is that a recent release by Australia, which has about double the population of Illinois, indicates that they're losing 303 jobs per year due to the video gambling machines. Now, this is out of the business community and out of their reputable business community. So we can expect tens of thousands of jobs to be lost by this. And the final point, which was made in the study commission, which was here, was that communities that oppose this or ban it won't lose one penny in capital construction funds. Now, you'll probably hear from the lobbyists in favor of this. I have pulled down their documents from their website, and I ask you to weigh the evidence. What they have is great PR, but there's no citations, very little documentation. Go with the evidence. Go with the weight of authority. Ban these video gambling machines. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Excuse me. Could I ask people who agree with what I just said to in the audience?
You mean in the audience?
In the audience, to rise. If you agree with what I said, would you please rise? Or I should say, with what Ms. Ehrenberg said. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I want the record to reflect that Mr. Kurtz is not present, as is Ms. Cowart and Mr. Carter. Good evening. Seeing no one else on the list for public speaking, I'm going to declare public participation closed. Communications from board members. Seeing none, Justice and Social Services.
Thank you.
Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Betts. Good evening. I would move the approval of the monthly reports for animal control of April 2010.
So moved.
Thank you.
I don't think second. You get to move them. I think you're the chair.
Okay.
Moved. So moved.
My Beckett, seconded by Weibel. Animal Control 2010, April 2010. EMA, April 2010 and May 2010. Head Start, May 2010. Information and Court Services, April 2010. Is there any discussion? Ms. Anderson.
We've already had that. Thanks.
I would just remind board members that these are available online. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. There's no other business.
Yes. So did the jury committee meet last month, and what's the status of the revised questionnaire?
Yes, the jury committee did meet last month. It's going to meet this Friday as well at 5:30 here in Brookings in the Cheney Public Meeting Room. But there was some discussion on the PSAs that we're going to be doing. The questionnaire should be going out. The new questionnaire should be going out in the next, I think, July of next month.
Thank you.
And then we are working on producing PSAs that will air to on various radio stations to targeted audiences to bolster jury participation. And that is all for justice. Thank you.
Policy personnel and appointments. Mr. Chairman, Prairie View Cemetery Association.
Appoint Stephen Westfall from July 1st, 2010 to June 30th, 2016.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Beckett. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. For the Community Action Board.
Two people are from June 25th, 2010 to December 31st, 2015, Carla Coleman and Janice Rodman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. James. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The County Board of Health, Mr. Chairman.
There are three vacancies available. These departments will be filled. Two from July 1st, 2010 to June 30th, 2013. Ms. Betty Siegel and Ms. Barbara Schultz. Both of them are reappointments.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Anderson. Discussion. Mr. James.
Should I abstain from this since I serve on that board? No?
I don't think so, but
I'm a man.
I think it's going to pass anyway. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Mr. Chairman, there's a third position there. Are you going to be bringing that up?
I hope so next month.
Okay. Developmental Services Board. Excuse me. Developmental Disabilities Board.
Came from July 5th, 2010 to June 30th, 2013. Ms. Joyce Dill.
Seconded by Ms. Wysocki. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Forest Preserve Board.
Came from July 1st, 2010 to June 30th, 2015. Ms. Bunn and Melina Flores.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Wysocki. I'll get you the next 10, Mr. Jones.
That's fine.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Triple Fork Drainage District.
Two vacancies available are Kurt Kingdom. Sorry, Kurt Kingdom. July 2010 to August 1st, 2010, which means he'll have to be appointed in August. And Mr. David Wilcom came from June 25th, 2010 to August 31st, 2012.
Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. James. Ms. Wysocki, discussion.
Is this filling a vacancy?
Actually, that is filling a vacancy. I mean, could we switch the terms? I believe that David Wilcom is going to complete the term.
Well, you're the chair. You're the one that appoints, so you're the one that would need to do that.
Okay. So Mr. Walton will be doing the short term.
Okay.
And Mr. Condon will do the long term.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just switching what they're in.
Is that acceptable to the seconder?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Mr. O'Connor.
Mr. Cundiff and I are euchre playing buddies for over 50 years. Should I abstain?
No. Only if you lose your mind.
Let's not talk about betting. Not with debts as your chair. All those in favor, malapropisms included, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Board of Review.
Came from August 25th, 2010 to May 31st, 2012, Mr. Ron Williams.
Second by Mr. Beckett. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same.
Aye.
Roll call.
I say motion carries, but I will be glad to entertain a roll call.
Can't do that.
Oh, you're right. I can't. You can ask for a division of assembly.
We could do move to suspend the rules to prevent a roll call vote. You can do that.
Come on.
Or you can divide the assembly.
No, just call it pass. Pick Gary.
Okay.
Nobody's doing it?
Nobody contested the ruling of the chair.
Okay. Administrator's report.
The first item is the vacant positions listing on page 43 for your information. The second item for action is an ordinance amending the personnel policy. As you recall, when you approved the job content evaluation committee recommendations last month, we created a new classification and salary range for attorneys, which is different than that of the other positions throughout the county. This simply reflects the required changes in the personnel policy to implement that change in the attorney classifications, and I would ask for your approval.
I'll entertain a motion.
Moved
by Mr. Beckett. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Mosier. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries.
The third item is the ordinance ascertaining the prevailing wages for laborers, mechanics, and other workers employed in public works in Champaign County. This is required to be adopted in June of every year.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Beckett, seconded by Mr. Kurtz. I'm going to shift over this up a little bit. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries.
Finally, there is a new Senate Bill 1894, which requires that notices of foreclosure be filed and maintained at the county. This, in consulting with the county clerk, we agree and recommend that the county board designate the county clerk's office as the office to receive these notifications, and that both the county clerk and the county board's websites be updated to indicate that this is where these notifications should be sent.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Moved by James, seconded by Barbara Pataki. Discussion? Mr. Weibel.
Mr. Bissett, do you know where there's currently is a list anywhere? Is it?
This is a new requirement, so I don't think this previously occurred.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. County clerk monthly fees report from April 2010 through May 2010. I would entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
So moved.
Moved by Wasaki, seconded by Cowart. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. A resolution to establish polling places. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James. Is there a second?
Second.
Does that mean you, Mr. Sapp? I'm sorry, I couldn't see. So it's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. I note for the record the receipt, and I would entertain a motion to receive it and place on file the Village of Ivesdale's opposition to closing or consolidating polling places.
So moved. Second.
Who made the motion? Mr. Jones? And who made the second? I'm sorry. Mr. Beckett. Any discussion? It's received and placed on file. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. We're down to other business. We're on D2, county board size and number of districts. From the last committee, we came out the top two positions were Proposal 1, 22 members, 11 districts, and 27, 9.
I'll move approval of Proposal 1, 22 members, 11 multi-member districts.
Second.
Who seconded it? Mr. Venzel? Okay. It's been moved and seconded for Proposal 1, 22 members, 11 districts. Discussion?
I'd ask for a roll call.
Granted. Discussion?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Carter.
I'd like to know what somebody explained to me that the reason for this.
Would someone like to speak to the merits of the motion?
What beneficial is to the county board? None.
Okay. You've asked a question, and I'd
like to try. I'll repeat what I've said before.
Thank you.
If that helps. Of course, the alternative to change is to leave things the way they are. The question about leaving things the way they are is how we move forward in any regard. I believe that the 11th district creates a greater opportunity for diversity, greater opportunity for diversity that protects minority voting interests, a greater opportunity for diversity that affects what I'll call the small town or rural element of our county. We have a very diverse county, and the concern that I have is that as Champaign-Urbana, the metro area, grows, that there's a greater opportunity to sort of box minority interests in and a greater opportunity to exclude the rural voting interests. And so I think that having this multi-member, the 11 multi-member district is actually a positive advance. I happen to believe that this board does not function well and that a change of this nature would be beneficial. I do note, for example, that all things and all institutions do not remain the same. This past weekend, Nebraska joined the Big Ten. I suppose there are many arguments about whether or not that is good or bad, but at least somebody had the vision and willingness to promote change. This is in the governmental context, of course, and it certainly would be different. We had board members who asked us, those of us who were advancing these proposals, to give us illustrative maps, and so we did that using the 2000 census, so you could have some idea how this could be done. You shouldn't take those maps for any more than they are. They're just illustrative. Those maps are not in compliance with the Voting Rights Act, and the maps are not in compliance with the equal size of voting districts. I think the variances are just too great. But they do illustrate, I think, for example, that you could have multiple minority interests in the history, recent history of Champaign County. We primarily have had one district that represented minority interests in Champaign County. Well, that to me isn't right. We should have an opportunity to have more districts of that nature. As I've indicated, I think as the county grows and as it becomes more urban, I think we're going to lose rural representation, and I think the 11 districts as opposed to 9 districts enhance the possibility of that type of representation. So, Mr. Carter, those are basically the arguments that I would make in favor of the proposal.
So what you're saying is that's your observation.
That's my opinion.
Well, what about the people that voted us on the board? Why are they... You know, I've been on this board quite a while, and by running bad has been because recent years we've been getting people that didn't seem to want to follow the rules of the county board. That's what's wrong with the board. You don't have the luxury of serving your committees. It's really turning into a dictatorship, really. We have committees that we don't have any control on. We voted, was put on them, but we are not allowed to go and exercise our views about what happened on that committee. And it's ridiculous. And by helping somebody, I think it's getting to be personal. For some reason, we have some people think it's all right for 4 or 5 people to run the county board. That's your problem, which is not right. That's not democratic. The people voted for who they want to represent them, and I think they should have the same right to take it alone. Thank you.
Mr. Nito.
Well, I think we've got a couple of questions reserved left for the November ballot. We haven't voted on the one that's before us yet tonight. But I think if we put this ballot to the public, is whether they would want 11 districts or 9, I'd take that bet. I'm reasonably sure that in the mood of the country and this county and whatever level of government there is, they want less, not more. But just a second, what Steve said, I think that the 11 district map does give an opportunity for purer rural representation. And in those areas, just on this sample map in 2000, where it does move into some urban areas, those areas don't go as deeply as they have in the past with the current maps. And you will get people who are favorable to rural issues, and even with the areas where there are a mix of rural and urban, you will have, I think, an attitude for better rural representation. So I would just want to second what Steve said. Thank you.
Jim Anderson.
Well, I have several concerns. A 22-member board with an issue that's very close, it could easily be a tie, and then the question arises who breaks the tie. I don't, as far as the numbers, I talked to a number of people and kind of explained the possibility and didn't get a lot of reaction from constituents that going, cutting down by five members made much difference to them if there were reasons why a 27-member board, and a few people that I talked to thought that there would probably be more diversity with 27 than cutting down to 22. I look at the map. I remember in the discussion when we had the study session, when we talked about more districts, people were excited about having smaller districts, that they would be closer to their constituents. When I look at the size of some of those districts that wrap clear around, they look like very large areas, and I don't see how that really brings you closer to your constituents. I think with technology and everything, no matter what the size of the district is, people have access to you through, used to be phone calls, but now it seems to be largely emails, and I think we're all very accessible that way. So I listened to Mr. Watson from the Farm Bureau, and they seem to think that having the nine districts gives them the representation that they're interested in, and so I really favor the nine-member district as it is.
Mr. Kurtz.
Now, I have to respectfully disagree with Mr. Beckett and Mr. Nudo on shrinking the board. My position has been clear from the very beginning that being on the board for the last 2 years and being exposed to the many diversified people, the diversification on this board of minorities, of farmers, urban, and of attorneys and real estate people, we have a tremendous wellspring of experience, of backgrounds that differ from each of us, and I think each of us brings to this table a unique experience of life and of their constituency. And I feel that even though it may be a little wordy at times, I don't think the difference of five will make that much difference in time. I think it will make a big difference in representation. And I feel very strongly that to hear both sides of the issue from my Republican colleagues, from my Democrat colleagues, from the farmers and urban people, for me, it makes for a very strong opportunity to judge my own opinion based on others as well and my constituents. So I will vote against 22 members and stick with the 27 nine multi-member district.
Mr. Knott.
I'll move to amend the motion to submit this and reformat it to be a ballot question in November of 2010 to ask the voters, shall they elect county board members by 11 districts with 22 members?
Is there a second to that amendment? Amendment. Mr. James. Just a second. Now No, I don't think we need the state's attorney. We cannot actually act on it anyway until it goes to full board next week, so I'm going to rule that motion in order. So there's a, the sub...
Is that a basis?
In order.
On the basis you were right.
Well, I know. I know. I want to hear myself talk. All right, feathers down.
I try to be fair on occasion. I think it's in order because we cannot act in finality at this meeting tonight on any of these matters that go to the full board next week, and we can have it, if assuming it passes, we can have it in proper form to be placed on the ballot. So I'm going to treat this as a substitute rather than amendment, unless Mr. Not objects to that, but you, what you're substituting is you want a ballot proposition that asks voters to approve having a 22-member board with 11 districts. Am I correct? I want to make sure. I don't want to misstate it. And so we would vote first on the substitute and whether or not to put this on the ballot. Mr. Weibel, speaking to the substitute.
Would this be a... binding?
It's advisory only. I cannot bind.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah. If it was a problem, I would have no coins about voting. There's no problem. Anytime you have as many people dedicated to want to serve their county and community for nothing, that's what we do. It's no strain on the budget. Jesus Christ, you pay less for these 27 members working on this board for the good of the community than you do one administrator. Now, am I correct?
Are you asking me that question? I haven't added the figures. I don't know what it adds up to.
Does somebody know? Speak up!
I'm sure you're probably right. I just don't know the exact figure.
How about it? So what is the problem? You deny people that want to serve up here for nothing. That's what it is. By me being sick, I'm going to even make $1,500 a year.
Mr. Beckett.
I forgot.
Now, you know, it's just wrong. I know what it is, and anybody that has any common sense knows what's going on here. And it's just wrong to deprive this community of people that are dedicated, want to come up here and give their time to serve them for what we do. It's just wrong. And matter of fact, you don't even give them a choice of choosing who they want to serve. And it bothers me anymore. I'm going to just say, I used to work with a lot of Republicans on this board. We had a good time working together. And I think about a rat now. Didn't have any problem. We got along. Known our committee, we went out all over the county solving problems and brought it back to the board. No problem. But recent years here, it seemed to be that we can't get nothing right. And the fact of the matter is, we got away from going by the laws of the county board. And people start adopting their own little rules and then forcing it down the backs of somebody else. And I just think it's wrong.
Thank you. Mr. Beckett, and then Mr.
I apologize. This is a tiny bit out of order, but not much. Mr. McGinty couldn't be here tonight, but he asked me to announce that he did support the 11-district 22-member board, and he also wanted to vote in favor of Mr. Williams' appointment. And I forgot to say that. I apologize.
Thank you. And you're not out of order until you're called out of order, and you weren't called. Mr. O'Connor.
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Chairman. If the substitute motion hopefully fails, then we get down to the main meat of business.
Then we
correct?
Get down to the main
and, do, and we get a chance to vote on the sensible thing after this fails, I hope.
How do you do it, Mr. Weigel? Matt.
If we vote on the substitute motion and it were to pass, are we still going to have a vote on the 27-member proposal?
I would think that both we wouldn't have to vote on it. It go before the whole thing goes before the board next week, regardless of what you do. In fact, the next board that is elected will also have to make a determination on the size of the county board. It's mandated by law that they will have to do it again, so let's spend too much time killing ourselves. Mr. James and then Mr. Peckett.
Well, I hope you don't call me out of order, but I didn't get a say anything, and it really isn't on the motion on the floor. But
do you want me to call you out of order?
Please do. Pius always does. My thoughts on the matter are, you know, when I look at the county board, I think in my mind when I ran, it was because it was supposed to represent rural interests and rural people because everybody else has their own mayors and boards and so forth and so on. But I was wrong, and I live with that. I think when we all sit here and we get used or comfortable to being here, we sort of take it personally, and I look at it. If I was running for office today and I didn't know all the dynamics other than what I had heard, and if this was a 10-member board, you better believe I'm going to put just as much fight in it to be here as if it was a 27-member board. I think that the voters, we all talk about them, if we put it on the ballot and they have a say-so, then we'll know where they stand. But I know for a fact that when I'm out in the public, yeah, the people I know and the people I talk to and the people that I joke around with all know me, but I'm appalled that all the people, when I ask them how many members are on this board or how many members serve in our district, they don't know. They don't really know, but we sit here and say that all the time. The bottom line with the public is they're wanting us to do the best job with what they give us and to make sure that we're doing the right thing and not out to mislead things. So with all the banner that goes around here, I think that's great, and I even have some personal issues with it. But change is hard. Change is always hard to swallow. And I just think that we need to look at it, and if it's the right thing and it serves the public and that's what they want, we ought to do it.
Thank you.
The only thing I wanted to say is if a proposal, either the substitute motion, which is later acted on by the next county board, or we were to take that action tonight, the default is exactly what we have. If there isn't a vote for a motion and a vote for change, this is what we have. We don't need to approve proposal number two. That's what we are. So it's a redundant proposal. It takes no action to get to proposal number two.
It is there because last month that's what you folks asked me to do, so that's why it's there. You will have to, regardless, after the new board is seated and the census figures come in, as part of that process of the board that's elected in 2010, you will have to make a statement, whether it is 27-3, 22-2, single member, whatever, you have to make that declaration as part of your reapportionment. This board cannot bind the next board on the size of the board. You can make a real strong recommendation. Just as if you put this on the ballot, that ballot proposition is advisory. It does not bind the board. I will say this, it is the one opportunity that voters have for the next 10 years to address this issue. Further discussion. Lorraine. It will be.
I, after listening to this, I'm not going to vote for the 22 members, but I'd like to know if we're going to put proposal number one in a resolution for the voters, are we going to put proposal number two so that they'll have a real choice?
It
Again, I think it's what Mr. Beckett says. Proposal number two is the default position. That's the status quo. And if the voters reject it, we're still in the same position of the board having to, after December 3rd of 2010, is still going to have to address the issue of the size of the county board. None of this is binding.
But if we're presenting a resolution so that the voters can make up their mind, wouldn't it be fair for the voters to have two things that they can vote on instead of one thing?
I don't know. Mr. Schmucker and then Mr. Nuda.
I'm in agreement with what Lorraine, I think, is getting at here, is that in some way the question has to ask explain to voters sort of where we are now and what the change is going to. So either we can do that in one question or we need to do it in two questions. But in other words, to just ask voters, do you want a 22-person county board? It's not quite enough. It needs to say, do you want to reduce the size of the county board from 27 to 22? Because, as several people have said, people don't know how big the county board is. They need, what we're trying to do is take the temperature of sort of the population. Do they want to decrease the size?
And I would suggest that in drafting the formal resolution, which we don't have a real formal resolution here, I would presume that the mover and the seconder would sit down and draft the proper language that addressed some of these concerns. But again, I didn't make the motion, so I'm just presuming the normal process will take place with fine-tuned.
So I would just encourage, I'm not going to try to suggest make a motion now, but I would just encourage the drafter and the seconder to consider that when they draw up the question, if they're the ones who do the question.
It'll have both.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll ask that. It'll state where we are and then state
where we're going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Nuda,
I agree with Mr. Smuckers. I think that's an appropriate way to give the comparison in a one-sentence form for them to vote up or down. But Mr. Carter, made the point earlier that, the voters put us here and the voters really should make the final decision as to how many of us should be here. And I'm all for this proposition to go before the voters.
Mr. Kurtz.
First, it won't be a final decision with the voters. It's just a referendum. But the key for me is, don't we have a limit on how many ballot initiatives we're allowed to have? How many do we already have? We have one. So there would be number two. This might be the other one. And then the third would be whatever's coming up. So we have three.
Okay. And we only have one.
Mr. Rosales.
Just a point of clarification. I actually, when I came on board, I was overwhelmed by 27 people trying to put in their input in a two-hour, three-hour meeting was kind of excessive. Also, that some of the districts within the Champaign-Urbana area, district, I believe, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, which are the five Democratic districts within the Champaign-Urbana area, are relatively small when you look at the square size of the district you have to cover. There's three representatives per district. I think it's kind of a redundancy and an overkill. We're not reducing the size of the board. We're increasing the number of districts. So therefore, you will get four additional new representatives in other districts that may not totally cover the areas that are being covered by the members currently. So in other words, when you say 27-9 is actually when we reduce the number of representatives, we're actually increasing the number of districts. So it's actually 22 people, 11 districts. So I'm sort of supporting the 22-11 and not the 9-27 for that simple matter that we're representing more widely and clearly across Champaign County than 9 districts will cover. It's not that we're reducing the size of the board, we're actually increasing the number of districts.
Any further comments? Anyone that Mr. Staff?
Reducing.
Benzel, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really, just a question for clarification. Did we have a seconder to Mr. Knott's stuff?
Yes, there was.
Who was it? It was, okay. Thank you. I didn't hear that. I was just trying to make sure we had one on record.
I do.
Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. James.
Well, just a comment after listening to Geraldo. What he said somewhat makes sense to me, but when I looked at these somewhat maps that we're told may not be the way they end up, basically the rural areas are expanding a little bit with their coverage, but the inner cities are splitting up and gaining. They're getting smaller, in my mind, of coverage with two representatives, but the rural areas, if I'm reading these maps or looking at them right, are expanding a little bit more for more coverage for the rural people. And I know what you're saying, but you have more people, but we have a heck of a lot more shoe leather to burn. So it all, you know, it's how you look at it, but again, like I said, I'm fine with five if we go down that small.
Jim?
Thank you, Mr. James. That's what I was trying to point out. In those rural districts, you know, we had talked about more would be smaller, but when I look at that map, my goodness, it wraps clear around.
Yeah. Greg Knott gets a Senate seat.
And I would beg to differ a bit on some of those like District 7 that you mentioned. Before I came on this board, I was represented by three Republicans in that district. So they're not a given. We have to use some shoe work to get there.
Further discussion. Keep in mind, all we're doing tonight is sending this to the full board next week for another vote. That's all we're doing. This is a motion on the substitute to place this matter on the ballot. Are we ready? If the clerk would call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Beckett.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Betts.
Yeah.
Carter?
No.
Coert?
No.
Dennis?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Kurtz?
No.
Michaels? Mosier?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
No.
Richards?
No.
Rosales?
Yes.
Sapp?
Yes.
Schrader? Smucker?
Yes.
Weibel?
No.
Wysocki?
Yes.
My calculation says the motion carried. It goes to the main motion. Now let's vote in the main motion. Do we need more discussion on that? Mr. Bible.
Well, I'm sorry, calling me green, because I think it's a good idea to reduce the size of the county board, but I think it should be an odd number. And because it's not an odd number, I'm going to have to vote against it.
Mr. Beckett.
There are lots of boards in the state that have even numbers, and they have special rules to deal with the issue when they're, in the rare occasion when there is a tie vote. So that's something which by board rule can easily be addressed.
Further discussion. Are we ready? This is
the question.
This is the main motion.
Okay, which is, so I'm clear.
Which is the same one.
Oh, well, that answered that. Thank you. Best.
Is it clear?
Yes, it is.
I don't want to step on your toes.
Please don't.
Unless you want me to. Go ahead.
Anderson.
No.
Beckett?
Yes.
Benzel?
Yes.
Betts?
Yes.
Carter?
No.
Coert?
No.
Dennis?
Yes.
Gladney?
No.
James?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Knott?
No.
Kurtz?
No.
Michaels? Mosier?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Richards?
No.
Rosales?
Yes.
Sapp?
Yes.
Smucker?
No.
Weibel?
No.
Wysocki?
Yes.
Affirmative, the motion carries. And if Mr. Knott would work on drafting, fine-tuning that a bit, and then getting it out to board members. Thank you. Next matter is a resolution. We're really doing a lot of resolutions regarding ballot questions. Resolution in support of placing advisory question of banning video gaming in Champaign County on the November 10th, 2000, November 2nd, 2010 election ballot. Would entertain a motion for purpose of discussion. Moved by Anderson, seconded by Rosales. Discussion. Mr. Sapp.
I hope I use the right term here. I would like to motion to defer.
We can't defer it at committee of the whole. You can.
I move we suspend the rules to permit deferral.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. It takes a two-thirds majority? Simple majority? Okay. Two-thirds.
No. Majority.
To suspend the rules? I will abide by whatever the committee wants to do. All those in favor of this? You have a question, Mr. Bradley? Okay. All those in favor of suspending the rules signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same?
No.
The rules are suspended. Now you can bring a motion to defer. Mr. Sapp.
Motion to defer.
And is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Benzel. Mr. Gladney.
Now my question is, can Mr. Sapp explain why he wants to defer this?
Sure.
The reason why is, after looking at the resolution, if you want to refer to the resolution, we just spent a tremendous amount of time trying to explain to the public what they're going to vote on a question on ballot. And the question that we're sending to the public on the ballot refers to an act that was passed that now regulates and controls the gambling in the state. And truly, those regulations and control measures have not been established or set yet. They are still, is that correct? They are still being looked at and worked on, and I'm concerned that we're going to send a question to the voters and not provide them the information that they need to make an informed decision. And until we have that information, that concerns me. The second thing is we're only allowed three questions. I don't know what will come up later. That was my purpose for the reason to defer.
Mr. Weibel.
Is August the last month we could simply get it on the ballot?
Yes. Again, it's the what's before us isn't the question, it's the motion to defer.
Point of order?
Yes.
The motion to defer should give a time date, like defer to when. Mr. Stefan would be remind me of that now if he was here.
Defer to when?
That's a good question. I don't know where the state's at in their preparing this package, and so I can say to defer till August to try and give the state more time to outline some of this so we can better prepare a resolution to place on the ballot to give them more information. Again, the ballot question that we just talked about gave a comparison of, do you want 22 board members or 27? Should this say, do you want video gambling or not? This just says, we don't want video gambling.
I don't think you could say, do you want it or not? That's a very compound question.
All right, so.
Depends on what bus you ride to Peoria on.
Yeah.
You want it deferred to August? Is that what I'm hearing, Mr. Sapp?
Sure.
Is that acceptable to you, Mr. Benzel?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Anderson.
I feel frustrated because I hear what Mr. Sapp is saying, that we don't have the regulations yet, but we have regulations. We still know the effects of what happens in communities when you expand the gambling. We saw a display of students here that are concerned. I have a grandson who was a freshman this year at Carbondale, and I was really pleased that Carbondale took advantage of the state legislation. Allows communities to ban the video gambling. So we know what that legislation says about that. But if we don't take action at a certain time, they will have it whether people want it or not, because the companies who are eager to come in with their machines and make profit, and they're the people who profit. It's not government. It's not the people. It's the gambling industry. And if we hesitate, we will have lost our opportunity to have some say about what we want to see in our community. So if we defer, do we defer to a certain time? Well, I think August is too late.
Okay. Mr. Gladney?
All right, now if I step outside the parameters of the deferring thing, let me know. But I guess I just have an issue sometimes with ballot questions in general, and I know we can put things on the ballot. And I just did vote yes on putting the board size on the ballot. That can be slightly different in that we all have, the board as an entity has a vested interest, you could argue, in its size and in itself. So I think while we can certainly vote on our own size, I also think it's okay for the people to vote on it as well, because we're rather close to that particular issue. The other ballot questions, the reason I have problems with those that, you know, and I know sometimes we legally, you know, due to taxing issues, we have to put things on the ballot. But for something like this, I think, you know, this is just representative government. We were elected by the people to make decisions, and we make a lot of tough decisions every month. And, you know, this, I guess I just don't quite see what pushes this over the edge and makes it something that we kind of throw our hands up and say, you know, we can't just go ahead and make a vote. I don't know when we can vote on this particular issue ourselves, but I would just... I would prefer to see us just vote on it and man up and make a decision at some point to keep that section of the ballot free. And I would vote no on deferring it simply because I just really don't know if we should go on the ballot at all. I think at some point we should just take a vote and be done.
Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I actually would prefer that we took a vote. But when we had the study session jointly, which we expressed we would like to see, and we had that with the cities, there was a big turnout from the community, but there wasn't a big turnout from this board. There was a lot of good information given there. People like Professor Kent, but there were a number of other people with all kinds of research that shows what happens in a community. And as the students expressed in the Senate resolution, there's all kinds of research shows that the more accessible you make it, and especially among young people, the addiction rate goes up. And as our social service agencies are hurting in funding and so forth, they are going to be asked to be offering more services, because there are effects that take place when this kind of expansion takes place in the community. I would love to see this board have the courage to take a vote, as did DuPage County right after the legislation came out. It passed unanimously because they did not want to see that expansion in their community. And there have been a couple of other counties, I can't remember the others, but there are about 60 governmental groups around the state, and I think maybe it's in the packet that Professor Kent passed out, that have had the courage to take that and have banned it in their community.
Mr. Rosales?
I would tend to agree with Matt and Jan as well, that instead of deferring, to go ahead and vote on it, because the referendum votes are basically advisory referendums. There's no action taken unless the board begins to take an action as to what the public would like to see done in the county. So either way, it's going to come back to us, either it's thumbs up by the people or thumbs down by the people, and we're still going to have to take the vote. So I would not defer it, and I would go ahead and try to vote on it tonight.
Mr. Gladney?
Excuse me, Mr. Richards. Got the wrong...
I'm going to try to keep it
this, tied into this question. I think one of the reasons that we should at the least defer this a couple months is that the question seems extremely vague. Should video gaming be banned in Champaign County? The question seems to presume we don't already have video gaming in Champaign County, which we do. So I have no idea if I vote yes for this, if that also outlaws existing machines, if this is eliminating the machines that already exist, which the legislation we would be preempting already changes how that's going. So I'm looking at this, and I have no idea what people would even be voting on with this.
Jim.
Well, I think at the study session and the materials I've read, the machines that are in, like the veterans organizations and so forth, they can still have, but they can't have those machines. They would have to be replaced by others that would be regulated by the. But it would also be in any, could be in any restaurant or bar or truck stops or, you know, lots of other places too. So it. And each one of those can have up to five machines.
Mr. Beckett.
I agree with Mr. Richards. I find the ballot question absolutely vague. It doesn't tell the voter anything. I saw, according to the information that the students provided, that there was a prior advisory referendum in East Dundee. I would love to see the language of that advisory referendum. I respectfully disagree with Mr. Rosales. If I were on the board, I won't be on the board. And at this, as a result of this referendum, the public said that they supported the video gaming because, and the ballot question was properly phrased, and they understood that it was a method of funding capital projects, and it was a yes, then I would vote against this. But on the other hand, if the public said, understanding fully the impact of it, that they did not want official video gambling, because let's face it, that's what we're talking about, is official video gambling. We have video gambling already in Champaign County. We're just not drawing any revenue off of it. That if they said no, then they would tell me that the public doesn't want this. The other thing I'm concerned about is the relationship between the county and the two cities. Are we going to take an action on this item and send everybody from the county into campus town? I don't understand that. Is our effective? Can we bind Champaign and Urbana by adopting this resolution? I didn't think we can. See, so I mean that's another. There's so many things up in the air about this. I mean, it's wonderful. I love my mother too, and it's terrible what gambling does, and therefore I vote damn that gambling. But you know, what does that really do? I'd like my vote to be meaningful, and so I agree that it should be deferred.
Mr. Richards.
At the least, this would be slightly more accurate if it said, shall video gaming be banned in unincorporated Champaign County, which is what we have control of.
It's an advisory question, and so if you can only place countywide ballots questions, so all the citizens would vote on it, but obviously where your interests are in the unincorporated areas, obviously then the cities of Champaign and Urbana would have information about how their constituents voted as well.
Well, I understand that, but once again, it's for the county. We don't have any input before us, at least tonight, about what the cities think about this. As Mr. Beckett said, one of the perverse effects of this may be students trying to stop video gaming in unincorporated Mahomet, but creating gaming on Green Street in Campus Town if we get rid of it, but the city of Champaign doesn't.
Mr. Carter.
The gambling machine.
Do we have gambling machines?
Yeah.
Of course.
They are?
They exist in this community, certainly.
You know this. As people, where are we going?
No, they're not legal to pay money out.
No, I'm just saying, though, today, even our laws won't even allow us to raise decent children. And the scene that we get where all the things that not good for us. That's the things that we seem to be putting in place in the moment. I remember when I was a kid, you go to the ball game, you didn't see a cop. You went to school, you didn't see a police. Now you have to have a policeman to escort you to the church house. I'm just saying, county board members and people, we are headed down the wrong road, and if we don't get some common sense and turn this thing around, we're going to be doomed. I can't imagine that my country is going the way it in the direction it's going. In respect of human dignity, respect for each other, and the things that we're supposed to be doing to create happiness and peace among each other, it's just ridiculous. And it just hurts me to see this, that we got to the point now that we have to have gambling to survive and all the bad things to make a living off of. And we're supposed to be the greatest nation in the world? There's something just wrong. I'm sorry. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Smucker, let's try to speak to the motion that's on the floor, which is the motion to defer.
Can I just call the question?
If you're going to say, let's not call the question, let's just have the question so we don't have to have two votes. Are we everyone ready to vote on the motion to defer? Okay. Call the roll. Yes is to defer, no is not to.
Anderson.
No.
Beckett.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Betts.
No.
Carter.
No.
Coert.
No.
Dennis.
Yes.
Gladney.
No.
James.
No.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz. Michaels.
No.
Mosier.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
No.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
No.
Sapp.
Yes.
Smucker.
No.
Weibel.
No.
Wysocki.
Yes.
My cut is it?
11-10.
11 yes? 11
no.
No. It failed. Okay. So we're back to Mr. Smucker.
I'd like to make a motion that, I'd like to make a substitute motion that the county drop a resolution to ban video gambling and have that forwarded to the full board by the end of the month. Given to the county, the board members to look at, and then delivered to the full board.
Is there a second to that motion? Second by Mr. O'Connor. Discussion. Mr. James.
I don't want to sound like I'm in favor of bad things, but that's what it's going to sound like. But I don't like the idea that some of the rural areas, folks use this as a form of entertainment. It's their money. It's their right. I know all the pitfalls, just like we do about smoking and drugs, and we spend a lot of money on the war on drugs, and it really hasn't helped much. I think that, if people are going to do it, we can beat them over the head all we want. We can tax them all we want, but they're going to look at smoking. They just keep doing it. And with all the information out there, I don't like telling people they can't do something because I think I know what's better for them. And like Mr. Beckett said, I hope my mother loved me, and she used to tell me a lot of good things, but I still did crazy things, and today I still do. I just can't support telling people they can't gamble if they want to gamble. I don't like it. I don't gamble. I don't even buy lottery tickets, but that's my choice. I'd rather spend it running around doing nothing. But anyway, I just can't support that. I won't support it. I mean, if those students are going to school, in my mind, getting an education, and they choose to do something crazy like that, so be it.
Ms. Anderson.
I hear what you're saying, but like I said, there's all kinds of research, but one thing I was reading again today and looking back to materials that I had, Australia has really backed off a lot because of, but in the Alfred Hospital in Australia, in a six-month period in their emergency room, they saw treated, there were 898 suicides. And in researching the backgrounds, one in five of those numbers were people with gambling addictions. The social ills that it brings, it really becomes a public health issue. And I think that there are some things that are important enough that we do make decisions that benefit society as a whole. And there are all kinds of other research. Professor Kent, I think, shared a lot of that at our study session of the bankruptcies, that the numbers go up when you expand and this sort of thing comes into community. If you've looked at even over the last year, there have been several things that have happened in our community already with people becoming addicted. And if you look in the classifieds, and there is a support group, right, it exists now. I can't tell you numbers, but I can guarantee that the numbers will probably go up if we make it more and more accessible.
Thank you. Mr. Sapp. Video gambling is already here. Our social problems are already here. Unfortunately, people do silly things when they waste their money on this stuff and when they go broke and stuff. It's already here. You know, I'm in and out and probably shouldn't admit that I'd put money in those silly machines before. But the fact of the matter is, you know, three bars that I'm aware of, three organizations in town that I'm aware of, have already had them taken out just because of the act. They don't want to be involved with the state regulating. I actually think we're going to see less machines just because of the act and because of the hassle that the state are putting, you know, people through to have these machines here. There's not companies sitting at the edge of the county waiting to bring video machines into this town. I see.
At the study session, the people from the industry were there to speak really highly because they are ready to bring the machines, and they are pushing, and the money that they have lobbying for all of this is, in my opinion, obscene.
Mr. Mosher.
We're going to get in a situation with this where there's a bar outside of a little town that's full of them, like Ogden, that's going to leave them in there because those people absolutely will tell you they can't stay in business without it. I can think of one at Penfield. They're all there now. And if Ogden doesn't ban them and we ban them in the county, then what happens to that guy outside? Well, the one inside survives with it. And when you go in those places, they're in there. Every restaurant in Ogden's got one. The Oasis at Penfield's got one, and it's not incorporated, and you're going to put them out of business. If they want to leave them in there, I don't. You know, we're going to control Penfield, but we're not going to control what goes on in Muhammad or what goes on in St. Joe or what goes on in Broadlands. They're going to have to do that themselves. You're just pitting one against the other. If you can't ban the whole thing in the county, I don't know what we're going to accomplish by banning it in the unincorporated area.
Ms. Wysocki.
I don't know where this list came from that has all of the counties and communities that have banned video games. But as I look at this, of the areas that I recognize, the names that I recognize, it seems like these bans have all occurred in the Keller counties of Chicago. They all seem to be above I-80. And I'm hard-pressed to find a community in East Central Illinois or Central Illinois or something south of I-80.
Carbondale.
Did this months ago.
I guess, but still, there seem to be very few communities in this general vicinity that have passed a ban. And I don't know what that means. And I guess I would also note that at the end of that list, there are a list of 7 communities that have not banned video gambling, one of which is Homer. I assume it's our Homer. And I'm what? If we should ban this, you can go to Homer and play video games, but you can't do it anywhere between here and there? Is that what's going on?
Mr. Gladney?
I just want to echo what Mr. James said. I'm not for people ruining their lives or the lives of those around them, but I also know you can't always protect people from themselves. And we already have legalized vices of one sort or another. And people, adults, make their own decisions on things. And I am, having said that, I would be in favor of the county drafting a resolution just so we can vote on it. Just have a vote, because a lot of people seem to feel like they want to vote on it here. But, you know, I hear, especially lately with all this talk about reform that we've been doing, I hear a lot about how people want less government, not more. Well, I don't know. I call us banning something. I call that more government. I call that government coming down with a hammer and saying, we know better than you do, and you can't do this because you'll hurt yourself. So, I mean, we need to decide what we're doing here regarding less versus more government. Thank you.
Mr. Richards.
Let's remember, we're not just talking about whether to expand video gambling or ban video gambling here. We're talking about doing that in the context of the state's capital plan, which the state's estimating is going to create 439,000 jobs, going to raise $31 billion, and we have a local projects list here, and we're totaling $237 million that is on the blocks for getting funding. This is not just something that we're putting out here, do we want more video gambling or less. Our state legislators looked at this, and one of the few ways they saw that they could find some extra money to try to get some people back to work in this state was through video gambling. It's supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO and the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. You don't see those two together very much. So let's remember that if we implement this ban, we're doing our part to help sabotage the state's jobs bill.
Mr. Smucker.
I'll let Mr. Mosher go.
Mr. Mosher.
I'd like to ask Mr. Hall how many you know of in the unincorporated area got these things. We used to keep track of it. What's it going to affect? 8 or 9 people?
Oh, I'll do a bar survey.
Mr. Mosher, I can't address that. I just have no idea right now off the top of my head. Sorry.
We used to collect money on them. We licensed them.
When this first came out, we did look at it, and I believe it was 8 that we could identify that would be impacted.
What good is it going to do to ban 8 of them if there are 50 of them inside some incorporated area that we don't control?
Can we do this? Can we try speaking to the actual motion on the floor? Mr. Smucker?
Yeah, well, I originally made the motion because I thought we were kind of walking around the issue, and I just wanted to have the discussion and see where people are at. And I think we've done that, and I appreciate hearing from people. I'm going to withdraw the substitute motion and just let the substitute motion just let us go ahead and vote on the original motion.
Did the seconder withdraw it? Who was the seconder?
I was, sir.
Okay.
And I appreciate the opportunity to announce that I only seconded it for the sake of failure. Thank you.
And they say I'm Machiavellian. So what motion do we have in the floor right now?
Yeah, I'd like to remind us.
This is the resolution in support of placing the advisory question on the banning of the video game on the ballot.
Okay.
That's where we're at, right?
Yeah. I think so. It's had a lot of permutations. Are we ready to vote on that? Okay. This is to put the advisory referendum on the ballot.
Roll call.
Put it on the ballot. Yeah. Put it on the ballot and let the voters decide.
Anderson.
Yes.
Beckett.
No.
Benzel.
No.
Beck.
Yes.
Carter.
No.
Coert.
Yes.
Dennis.
No.
Gladney.
No.
James.
No.
Jones.
No.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Okay.
Michaels.
No.
Mosher.
No.
Nudo.
No.
O'Connor.
No.
Richards.
No.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Smucker.
No.
Weibel.
No.
Wysocki.
No.
Motion fails. The next matter, resolution requesting governor's veto of Senate Bill 3012.
I'll move it. What do we do? Approve the resolution?
Mm-hmm.
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Benzel. Discussion? No, it's Mr. Benzel that seconded, I believe. Was it you that seconded it? Okay. I just want to make sure. Discussion. Ms. Coward.
So
yes, that's what it's about. Mr. James.
I just wanted to say the reason I would support this is that I look at that if we're going to have to consolidate other polling places possibly to where citizens have paid their property taxes and they've taken the interest to vote for years and years, I would much rather see those folks be accommodated to the most available degree, more so than students who may or may not take advantage of this opportunity. And also the money that would be expelled to just do that seems like to me that at this time is just not worth it. And I can't say it enough, when you have these rural towns where people have to travel miles to get to a poll, and I like to remind everybody what's going on overseas when we see that the people go out in war zones just to vote and get to the polls by camel or whatever means they need, that to me, if these students have to go another 50 feet or a mile to vote, so be it. And I like saying that word tonight.
Further discussion? Mr. Carter?
I'm trying to get in my... Any way you can vote, you should be allowed to vote. That's supposed to be a privilege. Early, late, or whatever. I can't stand some of the stuff we come up here with that I know there's a lot of crucial things that we could be doing instead of just like the stuff we just passed a while ago. I don't see why we want to prevent them from voting early.
Mr. Weibel.
I agree with Mr. James' concern about the monetary cost of this. However, I think we need to point out that this is not just for students. There are a lot of non-students who are on campus. In fact, I think everybody would agree that the highest concentration of people in Champaign County on a Monday through Friday, except in the summer, is at the University of Illinois campus. And therefore, it's logical to make have early voting the place where the highest concentration of people are?
Mr. Richards and then Mr. Beckett.
Yeah. Well,
it's Mr. Richards at the floor.
I went through.
Okay. Will you defer, Mr. Richards?
I will defer, Mr. Carter.
Mr. Kirk.
You know, we haven't been too long that we made it so people was able to vote. A lot of them wasn't allowed to vote until recent years. Now you want to put restriction on somebody that had the privilege of voting early. To me, is just nonsense. And I made a statement early this evening. You see, that's what I'm saying about it. We're going, I don't know what we call ourselves going, but boy, I think it's involved.
Mr. Richards.
Let me just say that I think that we as a county board should be trying to make it as easy as possible for people to vote. 2008 was an exception, but in general, we see fairly low rates of participation in voting. And for that, yes, this is going to cost money, but I think we should have early voting on campus, but I think we should be looking at early voting across the county, trying to make it as easy as possible. I've long been opposed to only doing early voting at Brookins at certain hours. Once again, I know these things cost money, but we have to have priorities as a county that aren't just part of our fiscal initiatives. I would like to see us ideally do more early voting than just on campus, because I agree that if we're going to do early voting, it should not just be at Brookins and on campus. This is something I think that we should look at when we're trying to make our voting situations a little more ideal. Now, a few years down the road, when people are a little more used to voting by mail and no-fault absentee voting, maybe that'll take some of the pressure off. But as it is, I think we are behind a lot of the states in taking advantage of early voting and making it easy for people to vote.
Other questions, Mr. Knott?
I'll ask for a roll call.
I'm going to do a roll call on almost everything. It goes without saying. Mr. Beckett was next.
Thank you. That's all right.
That name in front of you is confusing.
I appreciated the county clerk sending some materials today, and I looked at the material, and option A was bad, and option B was really, really bad. And I thought that was interesting that the only option that the clerk had come up with were bad and really, really bad. And I wondered to myself if it was, I agree with the chair that this is an unfunded mandate. That's one of the reasons why it troubles me. But I also agree in principle with everybody else has said about creating opportunities for people to vote and whether or not this could be a win-win. And so I didn't see option D. I think he had an option C, which was really, 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 really bad. An option D, which was sort of I pledge to work with university officials to find a centralized location, which can be the Champaign County early voting location, where everyone from all places in Champaign County can come. There'll be plenty of parking. It'll be centralized. It won't be tucked in the corner of the county clerk's office. And see if the university officials will cooperate with us and provide space for us and do it in a economical way. But I didn't get that message from what the clerk sent to me that I saw today. So I think one of these situations is pretty much what you make of it. The other thing I observed when I was talking to Mr. Nuto about it is, of course, my mother's in an assisted living center, and I find it remarkable, and I think it's tremendous that the county clerk's office gets absentee ballots out to all of those people that live in places like that. They encourage them to vote, and they do vote, and I think that's absolutely tremendous. It's in the same spirit that I feel this legislation was intended. I know that the Republicans don't agree. They think it's purely a way to try to increase Democratic voters. But I agree with Chair Weibel. I think the University of Illinois is a location in our community which concentrates the most population Monday through Friday during business hours.
Mr. James.
I somewhat agree with Steve at this point, but what I would say to that is that with all the polling places in Champaign-Urbana, maybe all the constituents in this area could get together and come up and say, okay, we'll gladly have a place out there that we'll travel to accommodate everybody and these folks, because in the rural areas, we have certain areas we drive to or try to make it, and yes, I would love it. I would love it if I had one out there in the subdivision I live in, but I don't, and nor do I ask for that, because I was granted the right to vote, and I take that right, and I try to do the best I can with it, what I have at hand. We seem to want to baby people and make things easier for them, when in fact, people should take their responsibilities to heart and do it, instead of always wanting someone to make it easier for them. I don't know. I feel like baby, do, but this, we gotta treat everybody the same, and spending everybody's money, when I look at the cost to do something like that, I think my land, there's a lot of other things I could spend that money on that's going to help people that are going to need it instead of those that may or may not vote. That's a heck of a sum just to throw out there.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, I've got a few comments here. First, Steve, your idea sounds good, to have a centralized location to make it easier for people to vote instead of coming out here to Brooklyn, but that's not the question. That's not the provision that the governor is going to be looking at. The provision is whether to have early voting on campus. And early voting on campus is not something that's going to be easier for people in the county, Champaign County, to make a vote for them. It's going to be easier for the people on campus. And that is not the representative, despite what Mr. Weibel thinks, that's not the representative of the most people in this county, the people that work on campus. And those people have polling places in their neighborhoods. I know a lot of people in my neighborhood work on campus, but they can vote right there at Parkland where I vote. So it doesn't need to be easier on campus. That doesn't make any sense. But the worst part of this whole thing is it's an unfunded mandate at a time when the state is already not paying what they owe us. This county's in severe budget trouble. The state's not paying what they owe us. And now they come along and say there's another provision that we must pay for. Again, we don't have the money to pay for it. We're laying off workers, and everybody in here is pulling their hair out because we're laying off workers. And then you'll turn around and vote for this or not vote for this, but not vote against this measure so we can spend money on early voting centers at the campus. I mean, this is money that we don't have and don't need to be spending right now. And again, Mr. Richards made a comment that we should make it as easy as possible to vote. I really don't see how closing 12 polling places throughout the county is making it easier to vote. All we're doing with this measure, or all the Senate's trying to do with this measure, is to make it easier to vote on campus. So again, it costs money that we don't have, and it really doesn't make much sense. Again, it's not making it easier on anybody except students.
Mr. Weibel.
Mr. Jones stated that voters off campus will be able to vote in their own precincts. This is early voting. I live off campus. I cannot vote early in my polling place, which is a block and a half away from me. However, if there's early voting on campus, I could do that then. So I just want to point out that this is for early voting only, not for regular voting.
Other questions? Mr. Nudo.
Well, I fail to see the need to try and accommodate a mobile group like this, like students. Mr. Beckett's analogy of the accommodation we give nursing home residents, they're not as mobile, and I fully understand the reason why we do that. Having gone to school here with a 15-hour load every semester, I have plenty of time during the day to vote. I have plenty of time during the day in between classes, if I wanted to go to Brookings and get it done early. Yeah. With my family, I taught them early. When they were going to college, some away from this community, I had them come back. They drove back to this town, and we had breakfast, and we all voted as a family in my voting area. But, to accommodate a group that I just don't see the need to have this accommodation for an active, mobile group of people that know that they have a voting duty to be there at a certain time, or if they can't be there on voting day, to go to Brookings. And I fail to see why we're not considering the costs of this. Thank you.
Mr. Rosier.
I'd like to know how many college counties got to go along with this. Is it Southern and Illinois and ISU, or is it Macon County because they got it? It's just state university, so it's basically Macomb and Carbondale. And
I believe it applies to 4-year state universities. Mr. Beckett.
I wonder if we could let the clerk say whatever he wants to say about this. I know he's here, and he did provide that material to us. I'd like to hear from him.
Sure.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Beckett. I really appreciate that. I didn't put option D of working with the university because that's a given. We work with the university. We have ongoing relationship with them to provide voting. We've got at least 4 polling places that I can think of that are located at the University of Illinois on their property. We are the only county in America still with voter registration kiosks. We have one at the IGA at Round Bank Center. It allows people to go 24 hours a day and register to vote. We have 2 at the University of Illinois campus. 2. Every election, we work with the University of Illinois, and I work with the Chancellor's Office to draft an email that goes out to every student at the University of Illinois, telling them how to go to our websites, check the voter registration status. I work with the Housing Authority at the University of Illinois to facilitate getting students the identification they need from their residence hall to make sure that they were able to vote on Election Day. We had meetings prior. In August, we generally have a meeting with the student groups on campus. I got a call 2008 from the Chancellor's Office about a voter registration event they wanted us to conduct on. It wasn't Quad Day, but another time. We work with the University of Illinois routinely. We still don't get free parking, so one of the costs of doing this is we're going to have to pay parking for 23 days. Mr. Richards says he supports early voting. I would support early voting and expand it as well. This bill basically is going to put an impediment into doing more early voting around the county. What this bill does is it says you have to do it 23 days on the University of Illinois campus. Okay? Doesn't say do it a few days on the University of Illinois campus. Let's say you wanted to spend $20,000 for staffing and computers and things like that for the for early voting, and you wanted to do it 3 days in Rantoul and 2 days in Mahomet and 3 days in Tolono and 5 days on campus and 2 in Southwest Champaign, that might be a plan. But the state of Illinois isn't saying that can be your plan. They're not. They're taking the plan out of your hands. What they're saying is we've got a plan for you. No matter what you, as 27 members of the Champaign County Board, or 186,000 people in Champaign County, decide is the right plan for early voting for your community, based on your financial resources, based on who needs what services where, they don't care about that. They want one plan, and that is 23 days on the University of Illinois campus, 9 to 12 on 2 Sundays, somewhere at the University of Illinois campus. You're going to be paying money to put at least 2 judges, probably a staff person with a backup tech person, to have early voting on the University of Illinois campus for 3 hours on a Sunday morning, 2 Sunday mornings, and 2 Saturday mornings. Okay? Now, we get a few coming here because we're mandated here at a permanent polling site at Brookings to come in on Sunday morning. But your number on Sunday morning on campus, that would be a fun office pool to start. And everyone can fight over who gets to pick number 0. This is going to be a $10,000 kind of an ongoing cost when you take parking, when you take staffing, when you take a variety of other, just it's going to be $10,000 just if we do it every election. Right now, this is just a pilot program. Additionally, we've got to buy a printer. We have to buy a computer. We have to design a program that has not yet been designed to manage the data that will have to be put to that polling place. I would also, I'm not sure what Plan D is. Certainly Plan D, all the plans are going to include working with the University of Illinois. Those of you who voted early in our office, there are 12 ballot boxes in our office with 12 tabulators on them. We don't do that because we think 12 is a neat number. We do that because we need 12 ballot boxes to provide early voting for every voter in Champaign County. You just have to do it. That's the way the software is designed. We have two options. We can put 12 ballot boxes somehow, buying them, reducing polling places at the University of Illinois campus, or we can do what Plan C is, or we can do what Plan D is. The Plan C is to do what we call hot swaps, where we just put cards in and out of machines based on what voter shows up. A voter shows up from CC3, we put one card in. We take that card out because now they got a voter from Cunningham 21, and they show up, we put another card in. Now we got somebody from Rantoul, we put a new card in. Okay, it's a time-consuming process. That's why if you look at the memo, you'll see that there's a possibility of lines and some other problems, equal protection issues. I don't have a Plan D. I'm open to Plan D. If somebody's got Plan D, please send it to me. I'm not sure what other options. Yes, are there all bad options? Absolutely, I think they're all bad options. That's why I think we ought to ask the governor to mandatorily veto this bill. If he wants to mandatorily veto it and say, you know what, come up with a plan to do another site somewhere else, and we can decide. Nobody in 4 years has ever come to me and said, certainly, and Mr. Richards in 2006, to his credit, he absolutely said we should do early voting and expand early voting opportunities. And I totally understand that. This board has had the ability for the last 4 years to vote money and say, Mark, here's what we want you to do. Here's $20,000, here's $50,000, here's $100,000. We want you to do expand early voting. None of you have asked me to do that. None of you have voted for budget amendments, and that hasn't happened. Okay? So, I'm not sure what the plan will be if the governor signs this bill. There's bipartisan opposition to this bill. The City of Chicago Board of Election Commission is opposed to this bill. It's not just the Republican opposition. I think anybody who runs elections in Illinois knows that this fails for a number of reasons. So, I could answer any other questions. I seriously, if somebody's got a Plan D that they like, and that they think will actually resolve this, and if they want to come down to my office and see how things are done and why we have the 12 machines. We don't have it for our health. We had to actually expand our office in order to get those 12 machines in. You guys invest a lot of money in the fact that we need those machines. So I'm open to other options if you've got them, and open to answer any questions you have tonight or any other time.
Mr. Carter.
How did it get started in the first place?
How did
early voting?
Early voting is, I'm not sure how long it's been going on. I mean, early voting, absentee voting in person has been going on for a long time, but early voting, which basically is no excuse absentee voting, certainly, more than a decade. I'm not sure when it really started. The goal has been to increase voter turnout. It's studies have largely suggested that it has had marginal impact, maybe no impact, some studies would suggest, on actual turnout. I did want to just get back to your point. Nobody is going to be prevented from voting early. That's going to be the same situation. If this bill is vetoed, we will have early voting in our office. The people in Fuslin that want to vote early will have to come to our office. The people on campus who want to vote early will have to come to our office. The people in Sedoris who want to vote early will have to come to our office.
Well, without forgetting that, to me, somebody should have caught the problem when it started. Why didn't you, somebody?
I'm not sure what problem you're saying should have been caught.
How long do you think you want to know, Bob?
Well, this particular issue just came up this year, and the Democratic County Clerk from Madison County came up and testified in the Senate in opposition to this, and I testified in the House in opposition, and our lobbyists testified in both of those committee hearings in opposition. So, we raised our objections and brought up the facts about why we were objecting. So,
well, there's still something missing out of this. Why is it that events, are you doing something different now than you were doing when you created this problem? If it's a problem.
I don't think we've created any problems, and we've not ever changed early voting. It's always been done in our office. We've expanded the hours on a couple of occasions. So, as an example, we expanded the hours at the request of a number of people in the minority community, and they had an event in the Brookings gym, and we agreed to expand early voting at Brookings for all voters for an extra 3 hours to accommodate their event. So we've worked with people to increase these hours. Opportunities.
I don't have a problem with that. But we pay taxes. And I pay taxes when I work. I pay taxes when I get my money. And when I retire, I still pay taxes. So we need something back. And all of a sudden, I can't understand why it's a problem now when it wasn't a problem when you started.
Mr. Smucker.
Yeah, I'd like to call a question.
You can't discuss calling the question. All those in favor of calling the question?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. I'm going to ask for a roll call on the resolution regarding SB 3012. A yes vote supports the resolution urging the governor to veto the bill. A no vote says no, we shouldn't do that.
Call the roll.
Anderson. No. Beckett.
No.
Benzel.
Yes. Yeah.
Bet.
No.
Carter.
No.
Coert.
No.
Dennis.
Yes.
Gladney.
No.
James.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
No.
Michaels.
Yes.
Mosier.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Richards.
No.
Rosales.
No.
Sapp.
Yes.
Smucker.
No.
Weibel.
No.
Wysocki.
No.
Motion fails. Request for high-speed rail line letter of support. Moved by Mr. Beckett. Seconded by Mr. Richards. Discussion. Yes, Mr. O'Connor.
Just a quick question. Don't we kill enough people with freight trains?
Not the right people. further discussion. Mr. Kurtz.
Will high-speed rail kill more birds than wind towers?
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same motion.
Aye.
I'm going to do this again because I stepped on the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed.
Aye.
That's too close to call.
Have to divide the assembly.
I'm going to divide the assembly. Raise your hands if you support it. It passes 13.
Count yourself.
13. I was busy counting forever. Sorry. Chair's report. I don't have a report. Mr. Rosales. You can see everyone's very hard to see from the
camera. No, it's just that the angle is very difficult.
Great. Brandon McGinty is a little under the weather, so we wish him well wishes as well as our prayers are with him and his family. The Finance Committee would like to move Budget Amendment Transfer, Budget Amendment 100054, increase appropriations to $90,000. Reason, receive a federal stimulus funding for community gardening projects. This multiple garden site project will increase summer jobs and help improve.
Maybe I should take my glasses off.
Help improve work readiness skills for 20 local youth and garden coordinator. Low-income households will be provided with free products of produce, which will be grown in community gardens.
So,
I get a second. Second by Barb Wasaki and moved by Kurtz. Move, Finance Committee moves to amend.
No, come on.
Okay, I'm going a little too fast then.
Okay, discussion. Richards?
Mr. Rapaz, I'd like to ask Mr. Moore who exactly is going to be administering this. I see we have the Department of Workforce Initiative, Community Gardens. Is that an actual department?
Yeah, this program will actually be administered by the Regional Planning Commission. It's actually within our Social Service Division. The funding source for this is Community Service Block Grants, which is something that we already handled and have handled for years. So, and we do have 20 youth hired and also a coordinator to work with the youth on the gardening project.
Thank you. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Motion passed. Finance Committee moves to approve Budget Amendment 100057, increase appropriations for $226,846 from the Highway, County Highway budget.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Stan James, second by Steve. Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passed. Budget Amendment 100053, increase appropriations for $17,000, increase revenue of $11,250 to cover expenses in the above line item for new voter registration system reimbursed from grant funds and changing of Mark Hesse pay line item to automation.
Move approval.
Moved by Steve Beckett, second by Moser. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Motion carries. Budget Amendment 100055 from the General Corporate Fund. We would like to increase appropriation from $5,060. This amendment is necessary to replace the spending authority that was used to pay out benefit accrual of retired employee William Lindsay. This department is completely funded through an intergovernmental agreement with the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services and the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office. Moved by Kurtz, and for the second, second by James. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Budget transfer, number 100002. This is the county highway. $21,716 employee settlement.
Move approval.
Moved by Steve Beckett, second by Barb Bosaki. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Sheriff, Part B, approval of school resource officer intergovernmental agreement with Tolono's Community School District. So moved. Move to approve. Howard, moved by Howard, second by Wasaki. Any questions? Great.
Not a question. I've seen the good that an officer of law can mean. I'm a mentor at the Edison School, and they have a full-time police officer on duty. And I think this type of security for the youth of our community so that they can better educate themselves and not have to worry about any problems occurring inside the school, to have a law enforcement officer on duty is a good thing. And so I would like to make sure that we vote for this and approve it.
Thank you for those comments. Kurtz, Richards?
Is this, I guess I should say, are these intergovernmental agreements fully funded?
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Richard? Michaels?
I might have missed something here, but I'm a little confused if this is the county that's going to have an officer here versus the local. I mean, in our community, it's a local policeman.
The sheriff provides law enforcement to these communities.
I understand that. I'm asking why the county was going to be in St. Joe and Prairie View, Ogden. I did not realize they did not have one.
No. Okay, thank you for that question. Any further comments, questions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Regional Planning Commission.
St. Joe. I move approval of the resource officer for St. Joe.
Second.
Moved by Steve, second by
Benzel.
Benzel, okay. Okay, any discussion? Any questions? Questions? Smucker? No? No further questions? No further comments? Are those in favor?
Aye.
Are those opposed? One motion carries. Item C. Regional Planning Commission moved to request language change in FY 2011 annual budget and appropriation ordinance.
I so move.
Moved by Richards.
Second.
Second by Wasani. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item D, State's Attorney, FY 2011, State's Attorneys and DCFS Contract for Funding of Abuse, Neglect Attorney. To be distributed, was that passed out? That's the pink form on top of your desk. Move to be placed on file. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by James. Can I get a second? Second by Moser. Any questions? Okay. Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item E, County Administrator. General Corp. Move to what is this? General Corporate Fund?
Actually, I usually send an amendment every session for a time.
You want to explain?
Sure.
Okay.
The first item is the General Corporate Fiscal 2010 Revenue Expenditure Projection Report, and it was with your packets with the green attachments. The Revenue Projection Report has improved slightly since last month, primarily in state reimbursement, where we were previously projecting close to a $500,000 shortfall. We have heard from the comptroller's office and are expecting a reimbursement check in the amount of about $400,000 this week, and our probation services administrator has been in touch with AOIC, and based on what they're being told, we would expect that the shortfall this year will only be $207,000 instead of the previously projected $500,000. The sales taxes also are improving somewhat. I would note that in June we received March sales taxes, and the quarter cents were up 7.75% and 8%. So that was the best we've seen in a very, very long time. We still are showing a significant underperformance in general government, which is where we collect our fees revenues. Looks like we'll see about a $525,000 shortfall there. So overall, right now, revenue is projected to come in at 96%, $1.3 million less than what was originally budgeted. And on the expenditure side, we are... Do you all have two copies of revenue for expenditure? Okay. On the expenditure side, which is page three, this takes into consideration the $1 million in cuts that were approved by the county board last month. And right now it looks like we will underspend the remaining budgeted expenditure by $172,000, spending 99.4% of the total, which is a pretty high ratio of spending our budget. And I'm sure based on the cuts we made, that's probably where we will end this fiscal year. Looking at the final projection, this would anticipate that we would see a $300,000 shortfall this year, which is a substantial improvement over the $1.6 million we were looking at last month before we cut the $1 million in expenditure, and then the rest of it has improved by about $300,000 over what we had previously seen. Hopefully, this will continue in the next couple of months where we see that level of improvement at least maintained, if not improving more. And then the budget change report is there for your information and shows the amendment or the cut to the budget too that was made last month, so that we now have a smaller budget that for expenditure than what was originally approved for fiscal year 2010. The Harrison Harris report, monthly collections report, is in your packet on pages 93 through 96. And all three of those reports are provided for your information.
Can I get a motion to receive and place on file? Moved by Barb and second by Steve. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries.
The next request is for an extension for the Circuit Clerk's fiscal year 2009 separate annual audit.
So moved.
Moved by Steve, second by, by Mosier. I can't hear very well.
Stephen.
Okay, any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, the next item is the General Corporate Fund five-year projection report, which was provided also with your mailing with the green cover sheet. And this gives a projection of revenues and expenditures for the next 5 years based on where we are right now. And the assumptions are with this report on the very last page. If you want to see how we came at the projections for each of the fiscal years based on the starting point in fiscal year 2010 and whether or not we're projecting growth or flat or declines, it's all spelled out on page 8 in those general assumptions. Overall, you can see that we are looking at a fiscal year 2011 revenue budget of 30.4 million when we have originally a fiscal year 2010 budget of 31.6 million. So the revenue is still declining, and we are going to have to account for that. So in the 2011 expenditure proposal, the assumptions that are incorporated are that we will still have to do significant cuts to personnel to accommodate an overall 4% reduction in the budget. We anticipate that fringe costs will still increase, and then you can see that most of the other expenses are flat. Gas and electric, we will be able to budget a decrease based on our current experience, and we have seen improvement in those costs with the co-ops that we're participating in. So fortunately, we will be able to cut some costs there, but really nowhere else. And if you look on the expenditure page, you will see that with this budget, we are projecting to spend less in commodities and services than we have spent actually in 2009 and 2008. So these are extremely conservative numbers for moving forward with these budgets, and something that we will have to, that I don't think that we have the ability to cut any more in those line items. The budget does include reinstituting $100,000 for vehicle purchases for the sheriff's office. He will have gone basically 2 years without really making vehicle purchases, and typically that's going to create a greater problem with maintenance of the vehicles if we don't start purchasing them again. It also anticipates in the transfers in 2011, budgeted $283,232, anticipates that we fully fund the capital replacement fund again. That budget was cut by half when we did the budget cuts for 2010. This would anticipate that we will need to reinstate those expenditures. And finally, on the back page, you will see what's not included in any of the budgets that are projected, and that is any sort of capital improvement facilities funding. We have had presented to the Facilities Committee the first installment of a capital improvement plan, which shows that to appropriately be reserving for future replacement of roofs on the county's 11 buildings, we should be setting aside $200,000 a year, a conservative estimate, and we will continue working on that capital improvement plan, but a conservative estimate for additional monies we should be reserving for HVAC systems and structural issues and so on is probably another $300,000 a year. That is not included in these budget projections, and there is also no contingent line included in these budget projections. So based on this five-year projection, you have in your packet the fiscal year 2011 budget process resolution, which is number 6 on the agenda. And I would ask you to look at the green, single green sheet that I provided to you tonight. On the page where the header at the top says budget process resolution, this is one page out of the resolution. It is where the general corporate fund budget requests instruction are provided. You will see I've added a statement to that where the general corporate fund departments will be instructed to incorporate a 4% reduction in their operating expenditures over the original fiscal year 2010 department budget, and said expenditure reduction is to be focused in and substantially taken from the personnel expenditure line items. I'm asking you, the county board, to provide that direction to the general corporate fund departments, because I believe it is essential at this point. The only true reduction in cost that we will be able to maintain, given how much we have already cut from our commodities and services and capital lines, is from the personnel lines. So I would ask for your approval of that budget process resolution.
Second. Moved by Steve, second by James. Any questions? Jones?
Deb, I was just curious. Last time you had the departments do the spending reduction, we didn't vote on that. Didn't you just do that on your own?
Last year when they prepared the 2010 budget, yes, you voted on it. You provided the instruction that they were to prepare their budgets with a 6% reduction.
All right, thanks.
James?
If you would, I know when you talk to these individual department heads, and I know Alan gives you a lot of information, but sometimes I feel like the department heads, like we did in facilities before, have a better handle on different problems they may be facing with their buildings and utilities and heating and air conditioning and all that. But the other thing was the outside area in your budget. We also got a plan for parking lots and some other stuff.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right. That's part of the capital infrastructure planning.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any further questions? Smucker?
I wanted to ask about the approach of asking people to reduce by 4%. I know that when we did this recently, you know, we learned some things. Some things worked really well, and some things, you know, we ran into some problems on. Do you see a way to avoid any pitfalls in this sort of department by department approach, given that this is going to be all in personnel?
Well, part of that is in the budget process preparation, which is on the back side of that resolution. I'm recommending that we change that. The second item on that schedule is that individual department budget preparation meetings would be held with me when the budget is being prepared, not after it's been prepared, which is how we have historically done it, because I'm hopeful that there can be some cooperative efforts among some of the departments to address sharing employees to minimize the impact or the need to reduce, you know, numbers of full-time employees, and to also brainstorm with the two groups of departments about the best ways, which we have previously done that as well. We did not do it last year, but we did it 2 years ago, where we'd probably take the courts group and the real estate tax cycle and administrative groups and have some joint meetings after some initial work has been done to see if there's anything that can be done to achieve the minimization of the impact on the employees themselves.
Any further questions? Seeing none.
One more question in that train of thought. I mean, if departments come and say they can't meet the 4%, then is the county board itself going to decide, or?
That is a point that I think we could reach. We'll see how far we can get in the first stage of it. But, yeah, I believe that part of the presentation to you would include if that had not been achieved and what other options might be necessary in order to get to where we have to be with the total budget.
Right, and I guess I only bring that up as we may have to make some decisions about what's a priority and what isn't. And perhaps we, I know you're going to talk about the discretionary spending, if some of that maybe needs to be used to backfill some of these other departments.
Yeah, I will tell you that one thing we've done in the last couple of weeks is look at staffing levels all the way back to 1996 to see if there were areas where we had added, you know, numbers of employees, and maybe we could shrink back to where our county government was at that point in time. The only areas where we've really added staffing, there were two. One is in the public defender's office, where we added attorneys when we quit doing contract attorneys, and the other was in public properties when we added custodians because we quit doing a custodial contract. So other than that, we have not really grown numbers of employees significantly over what we currently have today, after the cuts of 30 positions that we did a year ago.
Thank you for those questions, Mr. Knox. Are there any further questions? Comments? All those in favor to place this report on file?
No, to approve it.
To approve it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it will be placed in file.
It will be approved for approval.
Okay.
The next item is the budget preparation process calendar, which has two other changes besides the one I just pointed out, and that is previously you have held legislative budget hearings late in August where the county board came and all that was done on those nights was presentations of budgets. With this proposed calendar, I would propose that we could do those legislative budget hearings before the Committee of the Whole meetings in September. If the Committee of the Whole were willing to convene from 5:30 to 7 for the legislative budget hearings, then the regular Committee of the Whole meeting could be held at 7. I was hopeful that it might make it easier for more or all board members to be present to hear the budget presentations. So that's really, other than that and the earlier part that we previously discussed, the only changes to this calendar over how it has worked the last couple of years. To approve.
Moved by Steve and second by Schmucker. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Before we go there, let's take a few questions. Barb?
Let me just ask a question. By this schedule, then, we would not be putting the proposed budget out for review in September.
And we have not for the last 2 years. We've been placing it on file in October.
In October. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Barb. Are there any further questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
And then finally, I'm asking for your consideration of providing direction tonight at the Finance Committee level for preparation of the budget with regard to some funding which is not at the discretion of any department head or elected official, but is effectively at the discretion of the county board as to how it's funded. And those items are listed on page 106 and 107 of your packet. And what I can tell you on page 107, with the exception of the planning contract with RPC, all of these discretionary funding initiatives received the 6% reduction in fiscal year 2010 that was implemented across the board for all other general corporate fund departments. And I am simply asking that, again, with this budget preparation, that each of those receive the 4% reduction that's being requested of general corporate fund departments. And for the planning contracts with RPC, I'm actually requesting the full 10% reduction. They did not take reduction this year, but from fiscal 09 to fiscal 11, they would see the full 10% reduction that all of these others have.
Second.
Moved by Tom Betts and second by Pius Weibel. Any questions? James.
I was just going to ask if 10% would probably be enough, or if you needed a range of like 4 to 6%.
Since we're doing 4% for all the general corporate fund departments at this point, it should be enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Okay, let's take a vote. All those in favor? Opposed? No, motion carries.
Okay, the next item has to do with the county's contributions to IMRF. This memo is in the pink packet tonight. Hopefully you all received it last week as well. I don't know if you remember, but last year when we adopted the IMRF rate for fiscal year 2010, we had two options. IMRF took us, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, for any who weren't aware, which is we pay into for the benefit of the pensions for all of our employees, took a substantial loss at the end of 2008, which resulted in a substantial increase in the rates that they had to apply to the employers in fiscal 2010. In order to assist the employers with that huge hit of increase, they adopted what is called a phase-in rate, which is intended to be capped annually at 10%, so that an employer would know that their rate would not go up more than 10% per year. In the first year, we had been below what is considered the IMRF standard rate, so it actually went up 23% for us to adopt the phase-in rate. But if we had adopted the actuarial required contribution, it would have been a 44.2% increase in the rate. We adopted the phase-in rate because at the same time we were facing other cuts and substantial problems with our budget. At this point in time, however, what happens with the difference, which for the general corporate fund for fiscal 2010 is about $265,000, is you will carry it as an outstanding liability, and we will pay interest on it to IMRF every year until we finally get to a rate where we're able to make that up. Right now, our IMRF fund has a fund balance of about $1.5 million, and after reviewing this with the treasurer, we both believe that we could make a one-time lump sum payment of the difference between the phase-in rate and the actual required contribution rate for this year, yet this year, so it would be the same as if we had paid the ARC rate for this year, and then adopt that rate for subsequent years. Where this will really make a huge difference to us is in fiscal year 2012. We would see a rate increase of less than 3%, whereas if we stay with the phase-in rate, our rates would continue to increase 10% per year, plus we would be carrying an outstanding liability that we aren't paying for and also accruing interest on that. So you don't have to act on this tonight. We have to act on this by August, but I would request your consideration to make the one-time payment for fiscal 2010 to bring us up to the level of the ARC rate and then to adopt that rate for fiscal 2011.
Move approval.
Second. Moved by Steve, second by Schmuckers. Any questions, James?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, when this all came about, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I thought that you were in favor of the phase-in rate.
I recommended the phase-in rate because when we adopted the budget for fiscal year 2010, if we had not, we would have had to cut yet another $260,000 to have the appropriate level, probably closer to $300,000 because we've brought our staffing down since then. And we were already cutting $2.4 million out of the budget to get to a 2010 budget. So, yes, I did recommend the phase-in rate a year ago and looking at where it takes us. And our ability to pay this out of our IMRF fund is really a big part of making this recommendation at this point in time as well.
Okay, because I know on the other committee I serve on that some of the entities opted to go ahead. I know it was a substantial increase, but they made the necessary cuts at that time to accommodate that IMRF. And I was just worried because when I look at budgets, and I don't understand them all by all means, but when I'm looking at that as something that we have to contribute to, that we have to keep in check, and I don't like the idea that sometimes we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we're offsetting debt, and then we're accruing interest on that debt. So I'm just happy to hear that, you know, you're looking at it again, and that we're going to hopefully catch up with it and get that margin down to where I feel safe about it. Because again, that is a fund that I think that we owe the employees. That's something we committed to, and I think that regardless of some of the other cuts in the future that we may need to make, I mean, we need to look at that and make sure that that fund, because if I remember an old colleague of mine, Scott Tapley, he always said that we could end up in a big mess if we don't do due diligence on this issue. Correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Thanks a lot, James.
Oh, thank you.
Michaels?
Just a quick question. What would be the interest rate that we would have to pay on those funds?
Generally 7.5%.
Wow.
That's what IMRF has to earn, so that's what they charge in interest.
Okay, do we take a vote on this?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
The last item is just for your information only.
Great. Thank you very much. Treasurer's report. Item F.
I'll be brief. Just want to talk a little bit about real estate collections. As of today, we're 51% collected, which is great, right where we should be. And we also today made a distribution of $93 million to all the taxing districts. To give you an idea what that means to different taxing districts, Unit 4, Champaign Schools, gets $23.5 million of that $93 million. And our Tribal General Corporate Fund gets $2.585 million, which really gives us some breathing room. So, 51% is right where we should be. And a couple other items. We've now started putting the distribution information on the Treasurer's website so you can look back in last year and see what tax districts got, when they got it, how much that they got, how much that they did receive. So, unless there's a specific question, I'd just ask that my report be accepted and placed on file, please.
Moved by Jones. Second. Second by James. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Auditor's report. Tony?
You'll have the purchases not filed, the purchasing policy report on your desks tonight. Once again, the only things on here, which is good news, are just overnight expenditures paid out of FY 2010. This is just for informational purposes only tonight, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Moved by Steve, could I get a second on that?
Actually, don't need to come over tonight.
Pardon?
But I appreciate the sentiment. I also have the auditor's report, which is in your packets, and I would appreciate a motion to put that on file.
So moved. Moved by Steve, second by Schmucker. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all.
Okay, are there any other business? Part of the addendum, item H, other business, resolution increase, circuit clerk fees.
Thank you.
Could I get a motion to...
I move approval.
Item H, and the addendum.
I move approval of the circuit clerk's resolution increasing circuit clerk fees.
Moved by Steve. Could I get a second? Second by Schmucker. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Item number two on H, other business, request approval of planning and zoning department energy efficiency and conservation block grant. So moved by Kurtz, second by Weber. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Sam.
See, I move that we enter...
Item L.
Okay, actually we're in K, right? We're doing K. I move that we enter into executive... No, we're doing L. We're going to do L.
With other business, and I would like to...
Oh. Okay, are there any other business?
I'll take, take just a moment.
Sure.
This morning at the Environment Committee of the Farm Bureau, there was a discussion of coal mining in Champaign County. I don't know if any of you have heard about that, but right now the Sunshine Coal Company has 12,000 to 15,000 acres leased in Champaign County for underground mining. At this point, I feel that because it's going to be south of Homer and north of Allerton on a 2-mile side of either Vermilion County and Champaign County, and since Vermilion County has no zoning, the mouth of this mine will most likely be in Vermilion County, meaning they will mine under our county and we will receive zero revenues, zero taxes, zero everything. And so with that in mind, they need a special use permit here to approve that coal mine through the ZBA. Now, I've asked Mr. Hall, and through him, the state's attorney, if we have the authority as the board to make recommendations or approve or disapprove coal mining in Champaign County. And I think, just like wind farms, this is a very serious and important situation. I think the county board needs to have a say in coal mining under tens of thousands of acres of Champaign County land. So I will await Mr. Hall's and the state's attorney's opinion on whether the county board can make recommendations in this area.
James?
I was just going to say, I thought the federal government took care of...
I thought the federal government took care of mines and underground minerals and such.
Under our zoning laws, they still have to come for special use permit hearings.
Okay. Well, that's
through the ZBA.
Okay.
And at this point, only the ZBA can approve that.
Well, thank you.
Without any of our approval.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the additional information. Are there any further questions under item H, other business? Okay, Sam, item L.
I move that we move into, we enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C2 to consider collective negotiating matters between Champaign County and its employees or their representatives. I further move that the following individuals remain present: county legal counsel, county administrator, county elected officials, recording secretary.
Moved by Sam, second by Bob Psaki. Any questions? Roll call.
Anderson.
Yes.
Beckett.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Beck.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Coart.
Yes.
Dennis.
Yes.
Gladney.
Yes.
James.
Oh.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim. Oh, sorry. Michaels.
Yes.
Mosher.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
No.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
Yes.
Schrader.
Yes.
Smucker.
Yes.
Weibel. Wysocki.
Yes.
I move to enter executive session pursuant to ILCS 120/2C1 to consider the appointment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of Champaign County. I feel moved that the following individual will remain present, the recording secretary.
Is there a second by Ms. Westrack? The clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Yes.
Beckett.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Bet. Carter. Coert. Dennett.
Yes.
Gladney.
Yes.
James.
No.
Jones. Knott. Kurtz.
Okay.
Michaels.
Yes.
Mosher. Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor. I'm sorry, was that a yes or a no? Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
Yes.
Smucker. Weibel.
Yes.
Wysocki.
You showed me, by the way. You publicly showed me.
Well, I'll collect them.
He said you can't. How nice is he wants it? Yeah, right. I remember it was 4A. I remember it was 2A. Don't you? Do we have another executive session? No, thank you. Bless you.
Are we back in public session?
I move we approve the closed session minutes.
Is there
second
by Mr. Gladney? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, same. Motion carries. Any further business?
Nope.
We're adjourned.
No snowflakes.